Welcome to this introductory episode of the Space Power Podcast. My name is Wendy Whitman Cobb, and I'm joined today by my co-instructors, Derek Frazier and Paige Reed. But before we get down to business, we'd like to note that all opinions and views expressed in this episode are our own and are not necessarily representative of the Department of Defense or any of its entities. With that out of the way, I'd like to take just a few minutes to introduce ourselves. Derek, would you like to start us off?
Yeah. My name is Derek Frazier. I'm the Deputy Commandant here at SAS. I'm also a professor. I study space and international politics. I have a background in political science. That's my home discipline, if you will. And I'm uniquely interested in the intersection of international politics and space strategy. That's been what I've engaged with research-wise in the past 8 years here at SAS.
Thanks, Derek. Paige?
Hey, thank you, Wendy. Paige Reed here. I'm a professor at SAS, political scientist by training. My areas of focus are predominantly nuclear deterrence, non-proliferation and arms control. And my particular interest with what we're doing here with the Space Power course is thinking about space strategy and how it relates to our deterrence policies. So I'm really excited for the conversation today. Thank you.
Thanks, Paige. And just a little bit about me. Like my colleagues, I am also a political scientist by training, but unlike them, I have studied American politics, specifically U.S. space policy for my career. Obviously, professor of SAS, I am the current course director for Space Power, and this is my sixth year at SAS. And we've seen a lot of evolution in our Space Power course over that time period, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, Paige, would you like to tell us a little bit about what it is we do here at the School of Advanced Air and Space Studies?
Sure, yes. Yeah. SAS is fantastic. We take 45 of our officers, predominantly from the Air Force and Space Force, with a few of our sister services, and we have international officers that join us each year. And collectively, this group of students each year will get really close. They go through an 11-month course on a block schedule, which means they take the same courses at the same time. And we are fondly referred to as a book-a-day club. So it's an intensive course for our students. And we like to say that when they graduate, they leave here with the ability to think differently. And what I mean by that is that they have critical and analytical thinking skills to approach a problem differently. It gives them a true ability to define a problem and think through the ways to solve that problem. And in the course of this 11-month, our students will undergo rigorous courses that are theoretically driven, give them a grounding in historical frameworks, and then move on to some more contemporary issues, which is where a space course sits.
It really is a grueling 11 months for the students. We really do put them through it, but at the end of it, we really are proud of the graduates that we're producing. And all of that brings us to our Space Power course. Derek, would you like to talk a little bit about what it is we do in Space Power?
I would love to. What we do in Space Power is a focus on strategy in the context of space. So I think when students come in and they hear that they're going to be taking a Space Power course, one of the immediate things they think about is, you know, whether they're going to have the background, the requisite knowledge to do that. And the first thing we disabuse them of is that we're not going to test them on orbital mechanics. So we try to get after space with an understanding that space power and the application of space to military power is particularly important, both in the current context but also in the future. And so what we want to do in our space course, what we try to do in our space course, and this has evolved over time, but is to think about the strategic challenges that the space domain and the use of the space domain represents, particularly as it relates to, again, the application of military force or the use or threat of it. One of the ways that we get after that, and this is consistent with the broader curriculum, is that we focus on sort of history, and then we talk about the present day context, and then we think about the potential challenges in the future. And we do this from the standpoint of thinking about strategic problems both for the United States and our allies.
Yeah, and that our course really has evolved over the past couple of years because, as everybody is well aware, space is changing very rapidly. This is a really fast-moving field. There's never a boring day in space. There's also never an easy day in space. Maybe it'd be helpful to talk a little bit about what we have our students reading this year. Do you guys want to talk about some of the books that we're featuring?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Wendy. So as Derek mentioned, our course kind of moves from a historical approach all the way through contemporary issues and kind of thinking through space and the future. We've got some heavy hitters that have been here a few years. Of course, we've got Dolman's Astropolitique. This will take us through a more realism lens to kind of view the space domain. This is contrasted with some of our other books. We've got Klein again. It is, however, heavily revised. So if you've read it before, highly recommend rereading the new edition. We're going to be looking at topics that think about space from how our adversaries view the domain. So some great readings are going to come to you when we talk about space and a future conflict with China. We will look at the space domain and the conflict with Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah, and I think you were talking about specifically John Klein's Space Warfare, that we are reading the second edition, newly updated, one of the, along with Dolman, sort of the classics in this field of space power theory as it's sort of developing. Derek, do you want to talk about maybe some of your favorites?
Well, I think, you know, what's interesting about this course, so Paige mentioned that the SAS is a book a day. And a book a day works for a lot of courses. It actually doesn't work as well for space. And part of that is because there's a lot of research that comes out. And what SAS is very good at doing is making sure we stay at the cutting edge of research. And so what we have done in this course and what we always do in this course is a mix of books and articles. And so what I'm excited about for this year, and I'm excited always about teaching the space course, is that we have an opportunity to engage what's coming out in sort of contemporaneously as we're doing the course, but also dealing with some of the classics. So Paige already mentioned, you know, classic from Dolman, Astropolitique, which is a good sort of a good book for the students to start out with, in the sense that they, you know, they sort of gravitate very easily to that argument and can deal with it. And the implications of that. But we move farther away from Dolman and get into a wide variety of authors that look at various aspects of space. So one of the new books that we're doing this year is Bateman's Weapons in Space. And what I like about that is we're gonna get into SDI, and we're going to talk about some of the implications of the
Strategic Defense Initiative.
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course. Sorry. See that? Yeah. So we're going to get into that a little bit, and I think that's going to, for the students, going to be quite interesting for them to grapple with the history and development of SDI, but also think about the implications of that for the future and the types of weapon systems that current or future administration might want to get after. But outside of that, I mentioned we're going to be doing some articles, and we have quite a few articles that are going to engage with various aspects of the strategic problems that are presented. So we have a few RAND pieces, for example, that will look at aspects of deterrence, deterrence in China. We have a range of literature that looks at commercial space as well. And that's one of the things that I wanted to bring up, we were talking about before, in terms of how this course has evolved. So one of the things that we've done, and Wendy's been very good at this because this is really one of her fortes in the space literature, is to bring in the commercial aspect of space and how that has what the implications of commercial space are for the military use of space. And in that vein, we have over time read a lot of books on commercial space. We started, I think, the first book that we probably introduced the commercial space was Vance's book on
Elon Musk.
And I think we've move from that to look at other aspects of the space domain. As commercial space has grown, it's not just about SpaceX and Musk. We've considered other actors as well. So we've got commercial space in here. We have we've got some introductory primers. We're using the Air University as a space primer that's put out. We're looking at that. We have readings on space threats. So I think what I'm excited about in the literature that we'll be reading is such the wide variety and the diversity of the literature that we have, both in terms of articles and books.
Yeah, on the commercial space, I'm really excited to include Ashley Vance's When the Heavens Went on Sale this year, because it, we've focused so much on SpaceX, not just here in our courses, but also when we talk about commercial space more generally. And Vance's book really does, it talks a little bit about SpaceX, but really focuses on some of these really other emerging players in the commercial space arena, like Planet. And that gives us an opportunity to talk about things other than commercial space launch, which is really primarily what SpaceX does. I'm also really excited about our discussions. We have a day early on in the course talking about the Space Force. That has certainly been maybe one of the biggest things that has changed, especially in the last 5 years of this course, is the establishment and evolution of the Space Force. While we talk about that a little bit, we're also going to introduce our students to some of the current, I won't say controversies, but maybe debates, discussions that we have around the Space Force in terms of what does it mean to be a warfighter in space? What does space warfighting mean? Where does the strategic future of the service lie? So I think those days are going to be really fun for the students. And we should note all of our courses are here at SAS are seminar based. And so the quality of our seminars, our discussions really hinges quite a lot on our students' engagement, which is always, always impressive and high. So we actually have a lot of fun hearing what our students think about these readings in the classroom. And that, I think, is the most fun part of all of this is hearing what our students, we give our students these books and then we get to see what the students have to say about it.
Yeah, I think the challenge to that for us, or the exciting part, is to put this literature in front of them and to really get them to think through the different arguments being presented. So, all the students come in with their own biases about what they think space is and what it does for the United States. And we throw out literature there that allows them to sort of grapple with that. And, one of the books we're going to be reading, for example, Blenn Bowen's Original Sin, basically makes an argument about the nature of the space domain and the evolution of the space domain because of its military purpose and utility, sort of jaundices the way that we think about space. And they're going to have to grapple with that in the context of, most people think about space from the commercial aspect, right? It brings us, communications and that sort of thing. And so what does that sort of argument say about the future of the space domain and what we'll actually use it for? And whether we should think about it in the context of, peaceful applications, or we should think about it in the context of not just contested environments, but also one that is likely to be used for conflict. They grapple with the kinetic part of this, right? And thinking about, what does it mean to have weapons in space? And what does it mean to have space warfare? No kidding, are you blowing things up in space? Or are we only using space as a means by which we apply power in other domains? And so watching the students grapple with that and really get after it, and then also seeing, and as Paige mentioned, our students come from a lot of different backgrounds, right? And so we do have Space Force guardians in the class, and we have people that have never thought about space outside of their cell phones. And so watching the different people with different backgrounds grapple with this issue of space, bringing in their biases and their previous or lack of knowledge, I think is fantastic.
They always come in saying, "I know absolutely nothing about space," but they know more than they think they do.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, a lot of what we do here, the Space Power course falls pretty late in our year. Our students are going to be graduating in just a few months. We do like to build on what we've seen already, what the students have already been reading in previous courses. So, Paige, you had the deterrence and coercion course earlier this year. And so we will be actively building on what you had your students read in December. Especially when we talk about deterrence with China and how much space will play a role or could play a role in deterring terrestrial-based actions.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about the space course and where it lies in our curriculum. It really is a microcosm of the whole of SAS, and it is so wonderful and fascinating to see our students come in and kind of grapple with these issues and really be able to think about space for different audiences. So thinking about it from a perspective of just the American public, is there something known as space-mindedness? What does that mean? How does that impact how some of our officers that are in the Space Force, how does that impact how they do their jobs? We have a day where we talk about space law. What does this mean for the international system? How does the norms of space impact deterrence? Like Wendy, as you mentioned, this builds on some of the things that we've done in the fall. So I'm going to be especially excited when we get to the day on China and we get to talk about deterring China. How does this fit in? I hate to use this word, but does this impact integrated deterrence? Okay, I did it. I'm going to leave it there.
Yeah, that is always sort of the challenge in a lot of these courses is the buzzword bingo and trying to avoid that and acronyms. And I mean, that's just generally bad in the military. But it's certainly, especially for some of our students who aren't as familiar with the space arenas, you know, we want to make it understandable for them and allow them to engage in a lot of this, too. So that, obviously, I think we're probably biased. We love this course. I get to teach it twice this go around, and it's always a fantastic time. But all of this sort of brings us around to thinking about why we're actually recording this podcast for you today, which is in preparation for the episodes that our students have recorded for this series. This assignment is one that I'm really excited about. I've been wanting to do it for some time, as Derek knows. I've been sort of proposing this for a few years, so I'm really super stoked that we get to finally do this. So just to give you, the audience, some background on what you're going to hear out of the ensuing podcasts, our four classes, Derek's teaching one, Paige is teaching one, I'm teaching two. So we have four classes. They are going to be split into groups of two and three. And what we are going to do is allow them to choose to read an additional book. We have a list of other space books that didn't make it on our syllabus for whatever reason, mostly time. I think if we had our druthers, they would read all of them. But we just don't have that time. So each group is going to have a different book. And what we're asking them to do is to read the book, obviously, and then discuss the book for you. Tell you what is in this book, what is the main argument, what is the author or authors talking about, and then also put it sort of in the context of our larger course. What is this? How does this converse or have dialogue with the other books that we're reading? Does it conflict? Does it fit? Is there something new that this book highlights that wasn't already talked about in the course? So we're using this to allow our students to read some more books and then also benefit to each other for the books that they're going to read. These episodes will be about half an hour. I've kind of given you the background there. Paige, Derek, do you want to kind of talk about maybe what you're expecting to hear from our students in these episodes?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Wendy. I'm really excited about this for a few reasons. So it was mentioned earlier by both Wendy and Derek that our classes are seminar-based, which means that one of the greatest things that we do is get to hear from our students. And this helps build their oral argument skills. And one of the great things about this podcast is, as Wendy just mentioned, we don't have time to use all of the books that are emerging in the space literature. And so what I'm really hoping to see from our students is their ability to kind of gut a book, make it clear to an audience that may not be familiar with space what this book is mostly about, but more importantly for me is to show their ability to put this book in the context not only of the space power course, but what they've read across our curriculum. And I kind of look at this as a means of practicing for their comprehensive exams, which is how all of our students finish the year. And that is a real testament to their ability to think on their feet, to synthesize great amounts of information, and to make it clear to an audience what their argument, what their position on that book is. So those are kind of some of the things that I'm hoping to see from our students.
I would definitely echo those comments by Paige, that those will be very important things. I would also add that one of the things our students, as they move forward in their careers, are going to, and they've already done this to some extent, but they certainly will do it more as they increase in rank, is that they'll be asked to articulate very complex problems, and they'll be asked to do that in very short form. And whether that's orally or written, both of those will be brief, and they won't have a lot of time to explain the details and the nuance of arguments. They'll have to sort of just digest it for whatever audience they're speaking to, and do it in a way that is succinct and logical. And so, one thing that I look forward to in this podcast is that they'll have the opportunity to do that. Now they'll have 30 minutes, so that's a little more time, but it's also a group of individuals, and they'll have to sort through that, right? I think the evaluation of arguments will be important. I think, you know, we all read a book and we have a gut, visceral sort of reaction to an argument, whether we're all in or against or whatever the case may be. But what's important when we look at materials is not that gut reaction. It is sort of a no-kidding logical evaluation of the argument and whether on its merits and the evidence that's presented by the author makes sense. And so I'm looking forward to seeing all of our students go through that, because it will be important when they get to the oral exams at the end of the year as well that they'll be able to do that across the curriculum. And so this is a great opportunity for them to do that. But what I'm also very excited about as well is that for the audience, I think you'll get an opportunity to see what our staff students can do. And you'll get a sort of snapshot, if you will, into the seminar environment. So I think that will be useful just to give everyone an opportunity to see what SAS is day in and day out, and what our students bring to the fight, and what they'll take with them when they go back out in the world. And again, utilize their skills and what they've learned here, their competencies, if you will, to the future fight that they'll be preparing for when they walk out of these doors.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think, a pretty big deal right now. You know, our students are military officers. We do expect them to be warfighters, to be lethal, to go out there and aim better. That is, you know, there might be some concern about these students spending a year in an academic environment where maybe it's not entirely clear why they're here. However, our country needs to understand, our military needs to understand what the nature of the problem is, who our adversaries are, and all of this information, all of these skills, these competencies that we're giving our students over the course of the year really allow them to aim better and be more lethal when they do return to the force. So we're very proud of that, our mission here at SAS. You know, I think the other thing I'm really excited about is for the audience, like Derek said. One of the things I research is public opinion, and knowledge about space in the United States is incredibly low. In fact, just last weekend, I was away and I was talking to a group of people, and I mentioned we have some guardians in the class, which are our Space Force officers. And this group of people, all intelligent people, they did not know that that is what we called our Space Force members, were guardians. So even, you know, 5 years on now here into the Space Force, there are still a lot of people who don't know that it's a real thing, understand what it is they do, understand what the space environment is like. So I think a really big benefit of what we're doing here will allow the audience a better understanding of all the things that are happening in the space domain. And I think that's a really important benefit of this as well. So I'm hopeful. I don't know if I'll see the results of it necessarily in the public opinion polls in years to come, but if we can just help one person better understand the space domain, I think we can consider a job well done.
It's more than just rockets and satellites.
It is. It's politics, too. So very excited. As you can tell, the three of us are very excited to see what our students have in store for us and for you. While we'll be using the episodes to assess our students' learning in the course, we want to make this more accessible to a wider non-expert public. You know, there's the common saying, space is hard. And it's become trite and commonplace, but it's true. And space is a vital part of our everyday life that a lot of us take for granted. And probably will take for granted until GPS doesn't work and we don't know how to get around. Hopefully that never happens, and hopefully we are educating our students to the point where they are in a place where they can make sure that never happens. So Paige, Derek, any final thoughts on the course, the assignment, what our audience should expect to hear? Any final thoughts?
Looking forward to it. I think it'll be a great 3 weeks of the course itself, and I think the podcasts that come out of this will be fantastic. I hope the listeners enjoy it as much as I know we will.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. Excited to be in the course, excited to hear what the students have to say, and very much looking forward to listening to the episodes when they're finished.
Well, thank you to you too, Derek and Paige, for being part of my teaching team this year. That'll do it for us. We hope you enjoy this set of episodes coming from our students and that you'll learn a little something along with them. So thank you for joining us.